Welcome to the Grace Church Parenting Podcast, where we believe that when parents are healthy, everyone wins. I'm your host, Jocelyn Olminski, and Mark Steller is my co-host. And we've been recording these conversations during game day, and our topics have all been focused around parents raising their kids in sports. And it's just been a ton of fun. And for me, I know that I'm not a parent yet, but I've learned so much from the guests that we've had on, even from you, Mark. And just know that it's been so helpful as I work with high schoolers here at Grace and also interact with their parents and hopefully one day become a parent myself. And so I'm super excited for our conversation today. We have Jamie Petrie on our podcast, and just so excited for her to share kind of where she's at, and have known her a little bit. She recorded a Grace Unscripted podcast, and that's something that I'd recommend anybody listening who wants to know more about Jamie and hear her story. And so we're going to dive deeper into that. What I know is she has 5 kids who are all involved in sports to some extent, and helped to start the FCA at Copley Middle School. And so she just has a ton of wisdom, a ton of insight that we can benefit from. So we're so excited to have you on the podcast, Jamie.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'd love for you just to kind of talk about so you have 5 kids. Maybe start by sharing their ages, and I know they're all involved in different sports and activities, and just tell us share a little bit about your family and what that schedule is like, navigating, different schedules and games and practices and things like that.
Sure. So we have 5 kids. The first 4 are all very soon have birthdays. So they're almost 18, 16, 14, 12, and then we have a little guy who's 7. So we do have a lot of sports. We do our school sports, but we also do a lot of travel sports. So, just looking at last month, we were filing 7 different sports schedules. So it can definitely be chaotic, but I always say it's good chaos. We learn a lot through our sports and through our kids. So we just really take it week by week, try and schedule out practice times, game times. We have 3 drivers in the house, so one of us always going somewhere. But we also have a lot of community members that are on our teams too, and so carpooling is a lifesaver, just to get everywhere, we need to go.
Yeah, that's helpful. There's a lot of different ways to make it happen and to show up on time and not have to miss something. I'm sure you guys have probably have had to miss things before, but
absolutely. And we try to separate that a little bit. So, not the youngest is not the only one missing something, but we've had to take our little guy to do homework in the car while someone else had practice, or we eat dinner in the car while we're waiting on someone to finish up, or, stuff like that. So you do have to get a little creative sometimes.
Yeah.
Do they get to see each other, Jamie? Sorry, Jocelyn, I was just thinking about when you said that. Do they get to see each other play, or
they do? That's good. So we have kind of made that a big priority, especially with our youngest just playing game day basketball as a first grader. He's been tagged along to watch everybody play everything, and long days in the gym, long days at the field. We make the older kids come and support him. And so that's just been super fun. He had 10 points last weekend at his game, so that was a big deal.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, supporting each other's siblings. And I'm sure that even all of your kids have gained community with their siblings. How has that been? Have they been close with each other, or because of that, or?
Yeah, I think especially the 4 older ones being so close in age, they've created friendships just out of necessity of being so close with one another. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's just kind of created almost a safe zone. They have a sibling that's with them, not necessarily, they're not close enough in age. They go boy, girl. So they're never playing the same sport or the same school, but they can at least attend things together and have kind of a safe spot together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that some of your kids even have experienced sports injuries and have gone through just challenging times, just trying to navigate, not being able to play or kind of going through different, breaks. What has that looked like navigating those injuries?
Yeah, so our middle kid is a boy. He is soon to be 14. But when he was 10, just was kind of messing around at recess at school, tried to hurdle and fell. We just thought it was bruised. So, I mean, he literally played soccer for about 3 weeks. They actually won their state cup. He played the whole time, but then his knee swelled up extremely bad while we were in Columbus. So when we came home, you know, we saw the doctor and realized he actually tore his ACL when he fell trying to hurdle. So he was out for a whole year. And at that point, it was kind of like, we thought if he tried to attend things and just watch, it would be too difficult to just sit on the sidelines. So really kept him away from his sports teams, which was hard. But like his travel team has several Copley kids on the team. So they would stop by our house and we had like a little ping pong table set up on the coffee table where he'd, you know, lay on the couch and play with his teammates. So that was super encouraging that people, you know, reached out to him that way. So he kind of did physical therapy and all the things for about a year. He was out, slowly re-entered. Probably was only back for about 3 months when he was playing a soccer game and fell and re-tore it for the second time. So he was out. So first time was at 10, second time was at 12, and really just got back this last fall. And just over the weekend, he was back to his original team. So now he's like 100% fully back. Mm-hmm. So he was extremely young and his injury, loves the sport, but kind of an, you know, he could pick up any sport if he wanted to. He's just kind of an athletic kid. Our oldest, on the other hand, so he's a senior now. So then our oldest son, Brody, he's a senior at Copley High School. So this was probably, I guess, sophomore year, first like couple practices of the season. He had fallen. Of course, the field is solid rock, you know, it's still winter basically, and had broken his collarbone. So he was just out for like a short period of time of not playing, but he was able to like rehab, get back for the season. So he did play that whole season, played through a little bit of pain. It wasn't terrible, but played through a little bit of pain. But then he plays travel baseball. So he catches a lot more for travel. So he played all summer long, but really started to struggle with pain. Started to see a doctor, like taking Tylenol, Advil, seeing like a neuromuscular therapist, couldn't figure out like why his shoulder was giving him like so much trouble. So ended up after summer ball requesting our doctor to do an MRI to just try and figure out, you know, what was going on, why he was struggling so much. So all that to say, he didn't just break his collarbone back in the fall. He had actually torn his labrum and torn his bicep. So he then required shoulder surgery. And at that point, the doctor was basically like, you know, I don't know that you'll ever return to baseball. Like, I don't know that you could throw the ball. You don't think you could be a catcher, which was just heartbreaking. I was in the doctor's appointment, of course, with him. And so he's always had these huge goals of wanting to play baseball in college, loves the sport. So just to watch someone tell you that you can't do these things that you've set out to do was just really crushing. So we basically went back home and, you know, at this point, both boys are actually doing PT, physical therapy together. They had surgeries like within a month of each other. So they both, you know, we were double booking physical therapy and they were doing that together. So they bonded a lot.
There's that sibling time. Bonding again, not
it
in
was
different
the
ways.
The bonding so. Thing, which was perfect. They're 4 years apart. So it was just, you know, going through something hard, but having fun and laughing together at physical therapy was just kind of like a light during that time. But he was able to, you know, push through it. I think he kind of defied what the doctors thought would happen and he's fully recovered, fully back. He's just signed with Mount Vernon Nazarene University to play baseball next spring or next school year, I should say. So all good, exciting things. It's just super cool how God's turned it around.
Did you get to see, I know your faith walk a little bit, Jamie, from getting to know each other, but like so your kids have had faith around. Did you get to see it come out at all? Like, was it hard? Was it, were there lessons for you guys to like help them bring it out? Like, just kind of curious how the injury part.
I think for sure with Brody, we kind of always say like, he's our guinea pig a little bit because he's the oldest and never done this before. So, you know, sometimes we're learning as we go. And so it was definitely a turning point of trying to show them all that, you know, you might not ever play baseball ever again. Like, the doctor's telling you that you probably won't. And so it really had to shift how we taught our kids to see their identity in Jesus and not to just see their identity in something that can be easily stripped away. Our daughter, I broke her arm at one point, so she was out for like a tiny little bit. But like, I feel like they've all just seen super up close how one thing can just take away what you kind of tie yourself into. So a lot of my testimony is kind of about my identity. And so just sharing that with the kids while they were struggling with it and kind of just being able to relate to them. I never went through a sports injury, but I went through just not being able to figure out who I was. And so I think it just led a lot of conversations with you're more than that. And to not just like settle and think that that's all you've got going for you.
Yeah, I think it's so good for your kids to watch that in your life, Jamie, as their mom. And like, you get to be an example for them and what you're saying about these injuries and the thing that they've dreamed about, hoped to do, and then that gets taken from them and stripped away. Like, there has to be more than just that. And so it's good for your kids to realize that their identity can't just be that, because you're not going to play your sport forever. And you might play it in college and you might get a scholarship for that, but even that is going to go away, you know, and it's not going to be what you make it out to be. And I love for you to talk more about, like, even how you're saying you wrestled with like your identity, and I would love for you to talk about like your role as mom. And so like seeing your identity more than just being mom, but also embracing your role. How have you like wrestled with that?
Yeah, definitely wrestled a lot with that, especially with the first four. I always say the first four because they're so close to back and back. And then Brock was an added blessing, and I'll elaborate a little bit on that. That's part of my Grace Unscripted as well. Mm-hmm. But the first four, for 9 years straight, I was either pregnant or nursing. And so I kind of always put like in quotation marks, just mom, because for about 9 years, that is literally what I thought of myself, as I was just mom. I did start working from home. With our first, I had transitioned from teaching at school to teaching online. And it wasn't until after I had our fourth kid that my school closed down when I was working online. So I literally went from working full time to just being a stay-at-home mom again. And I did that on purpose. I threw out the word just stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
Because I struggled with that tremendously. I never thought that was like good enough, I guess, to be just a stay-at-home mom. Which is crazy looking back, because all of my closest friends were stay-at-home moms and did that fabulously. But for some reason, I think because my siblings all had successful jobs, I have three brothers. I felt less than them, I guess, growing up. And then as an adult, losing a job and being a stay-at-home mom came with a stigma, I guess. Now looking back, I know that God had a much bigger plan for my life than I could have ever dreamed of. I love all those years that I got to be at home. I ended up being at home for 15 years, raising all of our kids, which is phenomenal that I was able to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, never missed out on anything as they were babies into the school years. And now I work at Copley Middle School. This is my second year, and I'm still kind of blessed to be able to go over to the elementary school and see my little guy over there for special parties and stuff like that. So, taking something that I struggled with and now, you know, turning back and realizing what a blessing it was to be mom.
Yeah. Yeah. And your kids are going to look back at like what you said, the 15 years that you were able to be home, and they're never going to like question that, like their mom was like busy or preoccupied with something else, like to give them the time of day and to allow that, like you're able to kind of help meet them where they're at and, you know, be there for them in whatever it is that they're doing. And I mean, that's not everybody's story, and that doesn't work out like that for every single mom, but like what a gift that it was that you were able to do that. And then now your kids are able to, know that mom was so present and mom was so like, she was just around and could count on you.
For sure.
Yeah. And you talked about like now you're at the Copley Middle School, and that sometimes you see your kids, and because they're all in the Copley schools. I know that you started the FCA at the middle school. Could you talk about what that process was like and why you wanted to do that?
Sure. So Scott Chouinard leads the high school FCA. So when he started that, he kind of reached out to me and three other Copley Middle School staff and was very encouraging and asking us to start a middle school branch. I think we all initially had the same response of like, how will we do this? Why us? I don't think any of us felt capable enough to lead a group. But there was a Sunday sermon. I don't even remember what the sermon was about, but Jeff made one comment that has just stuck with me. His comment was, if I know Jesus loves me, how can I not tell everybody that? And so I was just like, okay, Scott, I'm in. And then I asked our three other leaders, and they were kind of like, okay, if you're in, I'm in. And then kind of a little bit bigger than that, for my own personal story, I kind of went through a phase of just trying to come back to Jesus, kind of having like a predetermined yes. So one of my yeses was going to Mazatlan with the women's retreat or women's group, and they just needed two people to volunteer to give their testimony. So I was like, sure, you know, I can share my story. So I sat there and just felt very convicted that I could share my story in front of these women that I literally can't have a conversation with. I don't understand them. They don't understand me. And I'm not sharing a story with my own children or the people that are around me. So when I got back, I thought, well, first of all, I need to share my story with my family. But then that kind of just was the same timing that Scott Chouinard had asked, you know, could you lead FCA? And I thought, you know, how can I not? How can I not use an opportunity like this as a teacher in a school that's allowing people to come in and do this? How can I not be a part of it?
Yeah, that's incredible that you came home and shared your story with your kids. Like, is that something that you would, I don't think parents do that often, or maybe don't think about the importance of that. Like, maybe explain, like, why would you encourage parents to do that?
Yeah, I think sometimes you just assume your kids know. I don't think my kids knew, especially for myself. You know, I grew up in a home where I went to church by myself. I don't know that my kids knew that until I told them that. I think they just assumed that, you know, they grew up going to church, like so did I, and my parents went because, you know, their parents go. So I think it's just eye-opening to them. I also think it just shows them that, like, not everybody's perfect. Not everybody, you know, goes to church on Sundays and goes to overtime on Wednesdays and does all the things. And just because that they're doing them, you know, that it's like normal. And so I think, you know, I felt very alone growing up. Just, you know, sitting in a church pew by myself and doing all the things by myself, that I wanted to make sure that they never felt alone, because I know you can be sitting in a full room and still feel like you're by yourself. So that was just a big thing on my heart, that I just never wanted our kids to feel like they were going through anything by themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And seeing that in your parent, like, I feel like even as kids, for me and my parents, like, I have this like idea of like their life and what it was like growing up, and like, but I only know what, you know, them as parents. Like, I don't know anything else outside of that. And I remember, like, whenever I started to, like, learn more and, like, ask questions, like, yeah, I just found out things that I never knew, and I don't think I would ever really find out about them unless, like, I asked, or, because it's, like, that's not easy as, like, a parent to, like, tell your kids, like, here's how I felt, or, like, here's the bad mistakes that I've made, or, like, you know, my experience at church wasn't necessarily what yours is, and, but, like, to see how God has showed up in the way that God has like worked in your life, and like your kids notice that the most. And I don't know, it's just such a powerful testimony that you can have with your kids, because they're watching your life, and like, you're impacting them way more than you think that you are, and they're gonna look back again and remember remember their mom's story and what you all, what you shared with them.
It made me think of Jocelyn when you said that, like one of the most popular, like unique Christmas gifts these last couple of years have been like giving these books to like your older parents or giving to your
Yeah.
grandparents for them to fill it in because it is a reality. Like people just like they're like, I don't really know what happened to my parents when they met or where their faith story came from or what, you know. So like I've noticed that popping up more and I just think it's I think it's a reality. So it's pretty cool that they get to hear that story from you and not be guessing years later.
Yeah, I know you've mentioned too, like even your oldest kids, like encouraging you and pushing you in your faith. And you talk about like the predetermined yes all the time, but like your kids being the one to say, like, Mom, you should do that. Like you should say yes to the thing that you're being asked. Like, I mean, I'm sure that's, I don't know, how has that been for your kids to like encourage you and push you in your faith?
So I'd went to like my second woman's retreat, and I just literally had this little card about going on the missions trip, and just really felt called, like God wanted me to go there. And at the time, I really didn't know why. I just knew I needed to go. And so when I came home that day from the retreat, you know, of course, my husband had all five kids for the long weekend that I was gone, which he's totally supportive of that. But I knew that's a lot of work. So when I came home and I was like, yeah, you know, I think I should go to Maslin for like 8 days. But I also was starting a brand new job too. So, you know, I was going into an interview and saying, you know, I know I'm going to start work in August, but I'd really like 9 days off in October to go to Maslin. So God just like worked out all the details that I was, you know, able to do that. But when I got home, I think my husband was still a little like, what are you even talking about? Like, why would you want to do that kind of thing? And my oldest was just like, Mom, you have a God dream and you should go. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it was. So sometimes it's just, you know, it's amazing what they pick up on and how they can say it. And you're like, yeah, why didn't I think of that? Or why didn't I say it that way? So I love that they, you know, they've plugged themselves into grace and they've created their own journeys, which is like super awesome to watch. You know, Brody's been baptized and just watching him grow over the last couple of years, it's just a blessing.
FCA too. I feel like I've seen them get involved there too. It's got to be kind of fun to see them leading both at your level and then also at the high school, you know, level as
Yeah,
well too.
so my senior and my sophomore both attend the high school FCA. Katie hasn't shared yet, but Brody has led the high school FCA several times. They're both on like the leadership team there with Mr. Chouinard. And then Brody has come over a couple times to share with our middle schoolers. So it's just super fun. Obviously the middle schoolers know my children because they're in the building. So the fact that they're like, oh, you know, that's Blake's brother or that's Annabelle's brother, it just makes it a little bit more personal to them. So it's just kind of cool to have them come over and share. So yeah.
It's cool.
And older siblings have such an impact on younger siblings.
They do.
Like
It's super
they're
cool.
watching.
But for sure, he's definitely the leader of our children and couldn't ask for a better leader for them.
I have a question because I know that you're, you know, involved in the FCA and your kids participate in that. Like, what would you say to parents about like how involved they should be in what their kids are doing? Whether that's like sports, a parent thinks that they want to coach a team or school activities or church or FCA. Like, how involved do you think parents should be in what their kid is doing?
I think it's probably different for every kid and every family, every parent. For us, I feel like we've tried to get involved as much as we can. My husband more so on the coaching side. He's always coached my son in baseball. I've only coached one season. I coached cheerleading 1 year for game day. Cheerleading was never my forte, but we, you know, do anything for our kids sometimes. But I think the most that you can get involved, I know for me, when the kids were younger, I couldn't wait to go to church and like put them in childcare for like the little break. So when I was going through it, I didn't feel like I could give back. Now that my kids are older, I feel like FCA is a way for me to like give back and start kind of working with the children. But I think sometimes, you know, you can kind of tell from your kids. My middle schooler, one of my eighth grade son, you know, he comes and visits me 4 or 5 times a day. sometimes he'll pop in my room and I'm like, dude, you got to go back to class. Like, I'm in the middle of teaching here. You know, so sometimes I think they crave our attention. Like, they want us to be part of it. You know, sometimes teenagers don't express that very well. But I do think that they enjoy us being around. And I think that we can definitely be in things that, that lead our children. I also think that sometimes it's good to let them go out on their own, have a little bit of independence and grow on their own. I guess just maybe a little bit of a balance of both.
Yeah, that's good. That's really helpful. Because even when you're doing that with your kids, like, you're learning more about your kid probably than the version of your kid that you see at home. Sure. Like, you get to see them hanging out with their friends, or you get to see them in, like, high stress competition, like, yeah, whatever it is, you just get to see them to another level, and yeah, to be able to even parent them through those, you know, different things that, you know, they're experiencing and going through is really,
yeah, cool. I think probably would have started with our oldest and my husband. The travel team is about 40 minutes away, so they're in the car a lot, so mm-hmm, kind of started with them. But a lot of times when we have our travel sports, it's just me and a kid, or my husband and a kid. And so we do make that time very intentional. It has opened up several conversations that I don't think would happen otherwise, especially because we have five children, and, you know, not every conversation I have with my 15-year-old is appropriate to talk in front of my 7-year-old. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, those 45 minutes in the car are way more important than that 2-hour practice that I'm dropping them off to. So just being very intentional with our time and our conversation. I think it's a different time than when we grew up, but I know, you know, the conversations that I have with my teenagers now, my parents would have never had those conversations with me. So just trying to be, you know, super open, has allowed them, I think, to, like, feel comfortable sharing things that maybe they wouldn't otherwise.
Love that. I also, like, I got to say real quick, you said something there. It's great. You both just mentioned, like, as a parent, it's always cool when you get feedback from maybe other parents about your kid in other settings. Like, you know, when you hear those stories, Jamie, when they're like, your kid was so amazing, and you're like, really? That's not the kid I see. But it's so fun sometimes, like, when another parent tells you a story about how great, but you get to actually see them in a couple different settings. So that's kind of fun, because we don't always get that. And it can be fun when we get those stories sometimes.
Yeah,
sure. I feel like most of the stories that parents get are, like, when their kid misbehaves or, like, does something that they shouldn't, because then it's like, I guess I need to talk to your parent now. But what Mark's saying, like, it's so important to, like, I mean, I'm sure, Jamie, you felt this. It means so much when someone says something highly about your kid, or absolutely, is encouraging you with, like, they were such, like, so helpful, or, like, they were so kind to, like, you know, the people around them, and were, like,
for sure,
it's so good to, like, hear those things, because I feel like parents often don't hear those as much as they should.
Yeah.
Is there anything, Jamie, that you would have and want to say to encourage our game day families with? I know you've been participating in game day and have kids that have gone through game day. So how would you encourage them?
One thing that came to mind was just trying to lead by example. I feel like for a long time, we wanted our kids to be involved, but we weren't involved. So I'm 43, but when I turned 40, I thought we needed a change. So that's when I kind of started going to the women's Bible study, which led to, like, the women's retreat and then the Maslon trip. But just being connected, I feel like if we can show our kids how important community is, then our kids will want to be part of community. And I think game day is just a great opportunity for kids and families to find a community. So definitely jump into that. And then I think starting out, I don't know that I necessarily thought anything past sports being sports. But, you know, as our kids are getting older, I realize, you know, having an almost 18-year-old, all the things that he's learned in life, and even about Jesus through sports, that maybe he wouldn't have learned otherwise. So just, you know, like teamwork and humility and leadership and perseverance and how to respond when things don't go their way. There's just so many lessons.
Injuries, going injuries. Back to the beginning. Injuries, right? Like, overcoming. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So, and then just to, you know, the card ride, can be very, you know, more important than the game, just to be intentional with our time.
Yeah. Man, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all of that and being on this podcast. And yeah, it's so cool to see you. And you have kids kind of all throughout elementary, middle school, high school. And you guys, like, your family is around at Grace Church and is always doing something. And so even for people listening, like, I mean, you're just around and a resource available to them to, get to know better. And I mean, game day parents and families can talk to you. And
for sure,
if they need anything.
And I should add, like, I don't have it all figured out either. You know, like, everything is just like a learning experience. We've had great mentors, great friends help lead us through, and every kid's different. So, you know, might seem like we have it together, but we're still learning too.
Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt.
We all are.
So I was going to say, we all are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for checking out and listening to the Grace Church Parenting Podcast. We hope that this has been a helpful resource to you in the stage of parenting that you're in. Be sure to check out more episodes as we release them, and we'll see you next time.